Blog Talk Radio.
Law enforcement standpoint, I mean, did this operation make any sense at all?
It doesn't. Where it came from is this concept: when we allow drugs or cash or sometimes a criminal walk, we may watch a crime in progress, and where we can take lawful action, we allow that criminal to go in an effort to watch its spiderweb and to see how many people we can catch. They use the same concept with weapons, and this is pure insanity. It's never been done before to give weapons like this, and their idea was to track the weapons. There was no tracking mechanism. Now all these guns are nowhere to be found, and for years, this will haunt the conscience of America rightly.
How about the head of the criminal division, Lanny Brewer? Did he authorize it?
I'm not sure whether Mr. Brewer authorized it. I mean, you have to understand the way in which the department operates. Although there are operations, this one has gotten a great deal of publicity.
Yeah, they're dead Americans as a result of this failed and reckless program. So I would say that it hasn't gotten enough attention, has it, Mr. Attorney?
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now.
Now. You feel that? You better hold on.
And welcome to the program. Forgive my voice. I happen to be the absolute sickest human being on planet Earth. There isn't a single human being, past, present, or future, that will ever be, has ever been, as sick as I am. But here I am. Why? Well, because there's fights to be fought. We can't worry about, I'm sick. Oh, really? Oh, you're sick, are you? Wah. Shut up. So I'm here. I can't spend all day in the goddamn bed where I should be. That drives me nuts. I have no patience for being sick. I just don't. It's ridiculous. I hate it. There's no reason for human beings to be sick, but we do get it. Why? I don't know. But anyway, I'm fighting through the pain. Why? Well, because we just simply can't afford 1 second. We can't blink. We blink, cracked across the gourd. You must keep your eyes open at all times. You need to develop eyes on the back of your head, both sides of your head, the top of your head. Every damn direction. You see a fight, well, you gotta just fight it. Just walk right on past that Cheeto aisle. Don't go out for that smoke break. Get out of that goddamn tanning booth. Wipe away your little tears. You got to get out there on that house floor there, Mr. Boehner. At least make an appearance that you got a pair. You can do it from time to time. But we're sick of the talk. We want to see it. Whip them out and show them. Let's see just how many hairs you actually do have. Maybe you don't have any. That's why you don't show them. You talk, but that's all we get. Meanwhile, the country's sinking. Heading straight for Davy Jones's locker. then we're voting for more of it. We can't sink this ship quick enough, can we? Why? I don't understand how people can't see. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know where people think that what's going on in this country today is progressive, that is good, is healthy. You can't defend Obamacare. I know that there's people that do. There's no reason for it. But anyway, as you know, I digress quite often. But so my voice sounds like Froggy from the Little Rascals. And if you're under 35, you're an idiot. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, go on YouTube. Type in Froggy, Little Rascals, and you'll know what the hell I'm talking about. Anyway, back to business here now. We got to lift our jib and get this damn ship underway.
Now more than ever before,
what
the people are responsible.
What the hell was that? Unbelievable. Boy, I tell you, I am sick today. Forget it. We don't need the damn horn. We know we're underway. Good God. I shouldn't be on the air today, really. But here I am. I don't really give a damn. So, you know, you get offended by a couple of mistakes here and there, well, there's nothing I can do about it. But I want to talk today and focus on Fast and Furious. I know there's a lot of people out there. Oh, God, why do you keep bringing up that old news? What old news? We haven't gotten any news. Any news we get is new. New means news. What information have we have? We haven't gotten anything from the administration. We know the facts. Well, some of them. We do know that the Justice Department, Eric Holder, was involved with it, okayed it, agreed with it. Now, whether the president knew or not, something tells me that I just, for whatever reason, I can't believe that he didn't know. And here's why. First of all, if you are as transparent and open and honest and clean and pure and wholesome, don't you think that, well, maybe if your attorney general was caught allowing untraceable guns from American gun stores to go directly into the hands of Mexican drug cartels, don't you think that maybe you'd have, a little conversation with him in the Oval Office and have security waiting right there to put the son of a bitch in handcuffs? Don't you think that's what a responsible, intelligent, pragmatic, I hate that stupid word, don't use that word, but an open, honest, transparent president, the most transparent, most open and honest, pure and wholesome president that is in U.S. American political history has gone down to be the biggest liar. A lot of people don't know, but George Washington was actually, he was a big liar, liar, pants on fire. He really wasn't a liar, liar. He was a BSer. That whole thing of Valley Forge, they weren't starving, they weren't freezing to death. He did what any good general would do. That's request more supplies now. Because even then, before they even had a government, you know human beings. If you say, oh, everything's fine, well, you're on the damn back burner. You say you're dying, freezing. Oh, we got to get help. Well, okay, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. It's winter. Eventually, you will run out. So he did what he had to do. I would have done the same. You would have done it too. But that whole thing, you know, I cannot tell a lie, that's the joke. Because he was a chronic BSer. But there's a big difference between lying and BSing. Now, what he actually lied about, Washington, I mean, Who knows? But he did have a reputation of being a, you know, a BSer. He could look, you know, one of those guys that could look you in the eye and, you know, convince you of the strangest, bizarrest things. And you'd believe it. But lying deliberately to either do something that will hurt or kill someone else, especially Americans, all for political gain or monetary gain or covering their ass, that's not the kind of lie that we need. That's not a healthy lie. That's not a good lie. That's a very dangerous lie. Look, when people die, it's nothing that, I mean, especially by the hands, basically by the hands of the American government. First of all, it never should have happened. Fast and Furious never should have happened. Benghazi never should have occurred. IRS, none of this stuff. None of this stuff needed to be done. None of it. So why do we do it? And why would, I'm sorry, but the American public, how could you be so in, I mean, just that blind in Benghazi, knowing full well that they knew what it was and they lied about a movie and you still voted for them. Four Americans were dead and he lied in the debates. He lies, 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 and there's no way that you could tell that he was not. I mean, if you can't pay attention any better than this and what the hell's happening in the world, then you got to shut up. You don't need to be actively involved in the conversation. What you need to be doing is sitting in the goddamn corner, shutting the hell up and listening, paying attention, focusing. What is being said? What does it mean? That way you can understand the conversation. Therefore, you would be able to respond, well, appropriately. But now we have new court documents that reveal final moments of Border Agent Brian Terry's life. You know, kind of chilling, but we don't need to know the exact last seconds. But we're going to cover it anyway. What we do need to know is why was this operation, first of all, done? The real reason. Now I know there's two sides. I got to take a shot of grog here before my throat gives out. Well, I'm kind of glad that we didn't make the finals. Tomorrow's Friday. We'd have to go on for two shows. And I can tell you right now, there's no way my voice is going to be healed by tomorrow. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I do believe in miracles, but I'm not anticipating it. If I wake up tomorrow morning and, you know, I can, you know, sing and dance, well, then we know we got a miracle. I'm just not anticipating it. So anyway, let's stick on the point here. 3 years after the death of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, and nobody has been prosecuted, especially the Attorney General, a tragedy which exposed and ultimately ended Operation Fast and Furious. The public is finally getting a glimpse into Terry's final moments. Federal court records released Tuesday provide the first official account of the firefight along the Arizona-Mexico border that killed Mr. Terry in December of 2010. That's a long time ago. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, it is. 3 years ago, and what have we gotten from that? Nothing. Do you think the Terry family's ever going to find anything? I'm sure they got their suspicions along with the American people. I'm sure there's a couple of reporters out there that got all kinds of suspicions, but they've been, well, Let's just say they've had certain conversations with certain people, and, well, you know, maybe that story could be, you know, put off for a while. It's really a shame when you have to have underground newspapers. One, there's a lot of people out there that do believe that these underground newspapers are, well, most of them are. I mean, not most of them are, but a lot of them can be. They can just be, you know, like The Onion, just bogus. You can write anything you want to. And it's sad that you have to do all this extra research when you have all this media. They have all the resources. They have all the connections. But yet we have to do their job for them. We have to buy their newspapers, read their stupid articles on their stupid websites, listen to their stupid commentary on that stupid television. But we still have to do their work for them. That's pretty sad, don't you think? Don't you think that you should be able to turn on the TV and actually feel comfortable of getting the actual friggin' news, the facts? I have never felt comfortable getting the facts from the news, and I remember the day explicitly I was six. I'm not going to go into that story today because we'll never get through this. But 2010, 3 years, president refuses to even, I mean, their investigations. What investigations? What, are you kidding me? They send their own people in there. They already got the goddamn outcome and report already pre-written before they even do their stupid investigation. And the American people, they just keep buying it. How? How do you buy this stuff? This has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. I'm sick of it on all ends. I'm sick of it in Washington, period. I'm sick of it in civilian land. There's far too much of this crap in the private sector. Your neighborhoods, your churches, your schools, your police departments, your supermarkets. It's everywhere. People just don't care that others have to go through to save your ass. Now, that's the kind of mindset that we need to get out of this country, period. Well, that starts with us. Leaders lead by example. So when the civilians see the leaders playing these games, they're naturally going to follow. Hey, well, the leaders are doing it. I'm going to do it. They're leading by example. And it's not a very good example. Is this the kind of example we really need? Huh? I mean, this sets the tone for the rest of the world. Speaking of setting tones for the rest of the world, how about Russia? Looks like they were, not for nothing, but Russia is, they can come up with some good ideas, but their follow-through never works. They're not very good at, you know, well, everything that they have is not very good quality. It breaks down a lot. Their ships, everything. And they can do some good things, and they got smart people there. But this is what happens when you have you can call it dictatorship. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But when you have a certain group, when government controls damn near everything, this is what you get. If, in order for government to actually be effective and to actually work properly for the people, is to be limited. You have too much government, you get nothing done. And it's much more expensive. Everything's bottled down, man. Just bottlenecked. That's the word I was looking for. Bogged down. They can't move. And they've got 47,000 goddamn agencies all doing the same stupid job. And they're competing and fighting with each other, forging these stupid bid contracts so they can keep their phony baloney job, but they're not doing anything. We've got too many agencies. Homeland, FBI, this, that, the EPA. I mean, the EPA with, you know, with firearms and machine guns and sidearms and goddamn full body armor swooping in out of the trees to go test these miners' water. I mean, this is Chicken Alaska. What do you think the population of Chicken Alaska is? They're getting some gold, man. You want to test the water, test the goddamn water. Make your stupid recommendations. If it doesn't work, come back with a friggin' ticket. Oh, well, the people, they come in there with their guns, and we gotta protect ourselves. Well, stop swooping in out of the goddamn trees. Stop scaring the bejesus out of these people. Actually, be nice to them. Explain why you're there. Look, here's why we're here. Let them know. Look, there's all kinds of these chemicals coming out in the water. It's killing fish. It's killing wildlife. It's killing humans. So what we got to do is we got to do this. But they don't have the this. The only thing that the EPA has is, well, you're doing it wrong. Okay, well, how do you do it right? Well, that's up to you. You're just doing it wrong. And you can't do it this way anymore. And if you do, we're going to take away your business. Man, they've all been eliminated, coal industry. They're doing everything they can to eliminate it. Where do you think you're going to get your electricity? There's not enough nuclear power plants to go around. Can't build them. Not enough dams to go around. The dams really aren't the answer. But there are ways to safely, you know, they're coming up with. And, well, the EPA needs to start coming up with ideas, too, to how to burn coal cleanly. Not because the planet's melting and we're all polar bears are dying and all this apocalyptic, goddamn man-made global warming BS. Shut up. I don't want to listen to that. Learn the goddamn science, for Christ's sakes, and shut up. Don't give me that. I don't want to listen to it. It's irritating. And I'm sicker than a goddamn million dogs today. I don't know. This has been on me. It's been slowly brewing in my body for like about almost a couple of weeks now. And then last night and yesterday, finally just whopped me good. Hit me pretty good Friday, last Friday. Kicked my ass. And then Saturday, I was done, man. I couldn't move. Then I thought, Sunday, I felt great. The Seahawks won. Monday, Tuesday, a little bit, and then yesterday, then this morning, forget it. But I'm here. The fight must continue, regardless. We can't blink. We can't stop. Look, it's do or die, man. I know everybody talks about do or die. We've heard all these do or dies before. But you got to look around. You got to find the do or die point. I'm way past the do or die point. That's where I am. But you have to find that boiling point. You have to find that do-or-die point. You have to find that mark on the thermometer where it goes to the red. Anything in the red? No. You can't have any more of it. But you've got to find that. What is yours? Have you had enough? Or can you tolerate more? Maybe it's going to be your son or your daughter or your father or your brother or your sister. Or maybe it could be you. And have the government lie? Nobody loses their job even? The attorney general? Yeah, he gets a little contempt of Congress, but what the hell is that? What? Yeah, okay, it sounds good, and, you know, it's all warm and fuzzy, but where's the weenie? Huh? So you got to – what does that mean? Where's the action to follow? Well, we don't have it. Why? Well, what? What is stopping this Congress from doing their job? Politics. Elections. That's what stops politicians from doing their job, are elections. Maybe we should limit campaigns to, like, say, starting 6 months before the election, and that's it. But then you can't do that. Why can't you go out there and talk about who you are? So you got to have that. So what is the answer? Well, it boils down to common sense, but nobody's going to use it if you don't have to. Nobody's got respect for the office. Nobody's got respect for the government. Nobody has respect for the people. And you can tell who's got the least amount of respect for the people are the people that come out there and tell you every day of how much respect they have for you. Show me the guy that's out there fighting. I know I keep bringing up Trey Gowdy, but there's a few others. I'm terrible with names, so I don't want to start mentioning names and getting names wrong and looking like a complete idiot. But there are good people in Congress. And ICE is good, but it just seems that there's something, there's no action after these hearings. What the hell's the point? I don't want to see any more goddamn hearings unless people are either leaving in handcuffs or they're having to update their resume because they've been terminated, effective immediately. Look, Congress has the power. That's their job. There's three branches of government. Congress is supposed to see the laws. They have the power. They do have the power to impeach. That's where it is. It's in the Congress. Where are you, Mr. Boehner? How can you not see all these violations that go directly against the foundations of this country? I'm sorry, but that's... don't give me your goddamn next election. Don't give me this, I want to be friends. Screw friends. This isn't about friends. You'll make friends when you do the right thing. You'll make friends when people are allowed to be, well, who they want to be, not who the government wants them to be. You'll make friends. If you have to lie to be to make friends, you're not going to be that close of friends. The lie will always come out. Your true colors will always come out. It's just the way it is. I didn't invent the human being. I just know how the bastards work. Even though that truth will always come out at one point, sometimes it's too late. And when it's too late, things happen. When things happen, well, people do die at the hands of our own government. But we throw citizens in jail and blame it on a movie that they made and put it on YouTube that nobody saw until the U.S. government made it available and translated it into Arabic. Yeah, it was only translated like a day before this whole ruckus got started over there I think it was in Cairo. But those pockets of that, I wonder just how big that really was. I didn't really hear very much about it. Porters didn't really talk too much about it. To me, it seemed like somebody I hate to, be conspiracy theory-ish, but it does seem that somebody from somewhere, planted that video out there to start a ruckus, a riot. It didn't really work. You know, there was a few of them, you know, did a few things. But as far as we know, nobody on our side died. At least I didn't hear it. But they did die in Benghazi. One was an ambassador who had been requesting for, well, security for a couple of weeks. Well, the British, they left. For Red Cross, they left. But our security, they left. It just seems too coincidental for none of this stuff to be deliberate. I'm sorry. And Fast and Furious, getting back to the original part of this portion of the show, I just finished the second paragraph. Good God. And I've been talking for over a half an hour now. And I got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's get going. Among other details, getting back to the court documents, they reveal 2 of 4 federal agents at the scene that day actually fired beanbags, not bullets, at a violent drug gang carrying assault rifles. Yeah, beanbags. That'll work. Weapons from the botched anti-gun trafficking program were found at Terry's murder scene, and it was. Thank God for the reporter putting that in. It was a murder. Benghazi was 4 murders. Anybody prosecuted with that? No. Didn't think so. Such an account was not available until now, with both the FBI and Department of Homeland Security never releasing an incident report, and Terry's fellow agents put under a gag order. Well, it's just what they did in Benghazi, too. They're in a gag order. Can't talk about it. Because you talk about it, well, the king's going to get, well, they're going to find out what happened. Sorry for that. I'm back. I am just sicker than a dog. Oh, my God. Hacking. Jesus Christ. I hate this stuff. But anyway. But as part of the court fight over the sentencing of admitted killer Manuel Osorio Arellanos. Oh, my God. I can't pronounce all these foreign names. Everybody should just be Smith or Jones. Look, if you don't got an unpronounceable name, you can't be a citizen. Let's put that in there. How about that for an immigration policy? That way people like me with broken left-handed tongues can actually pronounce the goddamn names. If I ever became this bastard's friend, which are very slim to none, but I mean if somebody else got a name like that, I mean I go to their house. Hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. How are you? Can't be having that. So this admitted killer, Manuel, we'll call him. I can pronounce that. Prosecutors released firsthand accounts from 3 fellow agents involved in the shooting. Those agents, members of BORTAC, that is B with a B, O with an O, R with an R, T with a T, A with an A, C with a C. BORTAC, an elite unit within the Border Patrol, had deployed in the desert to locate a drug gang known as a RIP crew that had terrorized the Nogales, I guess as you pronounce it. Nogales, I'm not Spanish, I don't speak it. I know taco, burrito, cerveza, chiquita, señorita, that's about it. So this RIP crew has been terrorizing the Arizona area, Nogales, Arizona, for months now. So the Rip Crew's job, well, the Rip Crew hasn't been terrorized, the drug gang was. But the Rip Crew's job was to stop and steal the drug loads of competing. The Rip Crew's job was to stop the steal. What? Who wrote this? The Rip Crew's job was to stop and steal the drug loads of competing smugglers. Oh, so I guess the Rip Crew, okay, I understand it now. I'm sorry, I'm sicker than a dog. And I can't read half this crap, so forgive me. They also terrorized and assaulted human smugglers and otherwise innocent illegal immigrants trying to enter the U.S. Terry's specially trained team was specifically deployed in the desert to stop them. Documents show that on December 14, 2010, Terry's team was on a hill above a ravine. A ground sensor went off, alerting them to the approaching smugglers. When agents yelled, "Police!" That's in quotations, so that's what they said. When agents yelled, "Police!" in Spanish, which they didn't put that part in there, I don't know how to pronounce it, the smugglers turned and open fired. This happened at 11.08 p.m. Just 52 minutes later, which would be midnight, Terry would have been relieved by a second BORTAC team and gone home for Christmas. Yeah. Attorney General, Mr. President? Didn't that bother you? You sleep at night knowing that? I mean, here this guy's 52 minutes away of going home to his family for Christmas and gets gunned down by one of your guns that you allowed, untraceable. For what? All to get the Second Amendment, you know, more restrictions against the Second Amendment? You have no shame? You have no conscience? It doesn't bother you? You sleep at night? You haven't lost your job. You should have. We've got a Congress that, okay, puts them in contempt. Contempt of what? Congress? Okay, whoop. Now what? Where's the grand jury? This is murder. I don't care if it's only one. I know if I murdered somebody, just one, I know I'd be sitting in front of a grand jury. Pretty sure about that one. Well, looks like my brother just got on the line here. So let me just put him on here. Let me see if he can. Can you hear me? Listen to me. Can you hear me now?
Well, indeed.
Listen to me. I am the world's sickest human being. I am sicker than a dog, man. A million of them.
Looks hard, everything.
Anyway.
How about the Seahawks?
Hey, there is a story here, and I got rid of it. Let me see if I can find it now. And I, wait a minute. I got it. Let me see. I got it down here somewhere. I was hoping you'd call Monday, but I don't know where the hell you were Monday.
I was busy.
Anyway, Richard Sherman says that they cracked Peyton Manning's hand signal code during the game. They did it in the first quarter.
I love it.
Well, I don't think it would have mattered if they cracked the code or not. They were, well, look at it. They were in the right place at all the
well,
right times.
That is true. That is true. They were flawless against him. But I doubt it.
He said they figured out which plays.
Manning's too smart.
Well, they do change it. They said Manning does change it a lot. But he said that they figured it out in the first quarter. And then they tried changing it and figured it out. No, I believe it. Look,
I'm saying nice try and you know, make yourself look good. But no, they didn't. They just played well. That's it.
I gotta believe they cracked that code, man. I gotta believe they cracked it. They were
Congratulations. Good job.
Well, Well, I don't think it would have mattered. I think Seattle was just going to win the game regardless. Whether they cracked the code or not, whether they cracked
them,
there's nothing you can do. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting story that they went out.
How many people live in Seattle? How many people live in Seattle? Answer it.
I don't know. What is it? Like 5 million? 10 million? 6 million? 5 million? It's in the millions.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
What the hell do I look like?
You look like the census. Figure it out.
Here, let me bend over and I'll just reach inside my, look what I got here. I don't know.
Well, my point is, at least a third of the city showed up for the parade.
Oh, no, I heard that there was
amazing.
They said over 700,000, so 700 times 3, so there's probably, about 3 million people.
Actually predicting 1 million was there.
Oh, okay, so then, you probably got about 4 or 5 million 3 million that live in Seattle. I mean, it's not that big of a city, but it's a big city. You know what I mean?
It's a big city. Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not.
It just keeps going.
Right.
But I thought that was kind of cool.
The population isn't anywhere near, like, say, New York City, but.
No, there's a big difference there.
Like
but,
right. There's a lot of different suburbs that are all around there, all Federal Way.
It just keeps going. It doesn't stop until you get to Olympia, and, Olympia doesn't matter. But that's pretty cool. About a third of the city showed up there.
Well, there's a lot of Seattle's going to be making tons of money now with with all the gear that they're going to be selling. And now I was thinking about this last night. I want to bring away. I think, Seattle fans, first of all, San Francisco fans, first of all.
San Francisco fans, are there any?
Now, listen, they're pissed, and same with San Francisco's pissed. So not only are they pissed because they lost to Seattle, but then Seattle went on to the Super Bowl and won in the fashion that they did. Now, if you want to talk about a great opener for a rivalry, just got bigger. Probably the biggest rivalry in NFL just got bigger. Those fans and that team, they hate Seattle more than ever now, which means this is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Great.
But you know what? That's San Francisco's problem.
Good. Bring on the hate, man. That's what I say. Bring on the hate. Bring me your hate. Absolutely. Bring on that hate. Go ahead.
Well,
the more you hate, the more
hatred,
clear. But no,
you
hate.
Can, you can not, rival.
Hate. That's, it, it's not.
I know what you mean. Hey, it's going to snow here. It's going to snow any minute.
Well, I wish it would snow here, but we got to wait till like Monday to get ours. We're getting over a foot.
We're going to get about 4 to 6 inches today.
Well, that's good. You should at least have it on the ground by, by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It'll start melting again.
Oh, yeah, it'll be gone quick.
That's the only thing that I didn't like about. I remember when we were kids, we were really little, and I remember we had a big snow. We had a snowstorm, and we had that old. I had that old red snow outfit. It was a one jumper zipper. I think you had one too. And
you look like that kid on Christmas Story.
Yeah, I know. And we had the first snowball fight, and it was we had like 2 feet of snow. It was like a lot of snow. Of course, it melted in a couple of days, but, that's what I
never
hate
lasts,
about.
Never lasts here.
Well, it lasts here all the time. We still got snow all over the ground. I mean, the roads clean up because they're good with getting the roads clean. But I love looking out my window here. The trees are still coming.
I remember, I'll never forget the time when you and Carl had chicken pox and I didn't.
Oh.
And it snowed and I got to go outside and made fun of you guys.
I know, I was pissed because me and Carl were sitting there at that screen door watching you guys out there playing in the snow, and we're sick and I can't go outside. That sucks. Well, I remember one time when I went out in my skivvies and you bastards shut the lock door. Yeah. I made a snow angel.
Well, because we dared you to, and you're stupid enough to do it.
Yeah, well, that was the last time that ever happened. But
I'll think twice. Anyways, go Hawks. Go Hawks, man. That was really a good. I know a lot of people think it was pretty boring, which it probably was. It was to a lot of people.
It wasn't boring to me. I loved every minute of it.
For a Seahawks fan, you're not bored. It was beautiful, but
they can't score enough.
Other people, say Michigan and Chicago, they were probably saying, "Ah, geez."
Well,
but,
look, San Francisco fans, they hated it.
Bronco
fans. Bronco fans hated it. You see that picture of that little kid? He was crying during the game, and it's gone everywhere. Stupid. Yes, he was a Bronco fan. He was at the Super Bowl.
Cried?
And he was crying, and somebody took a picture, and it's got to go all over the internet. It's like, well, who cares?
That's stupid. Stupid.
Shut up. Hey, look.
Don't have time for crap like that.
Nobody expected the win to be in the fashion that it was, but it just goes to show you. Seattle is a team, man. You can't be screwing with them. You got to take them serious now. And next year, I think they stand a really good chance of coming back.
I believe it'll be the same Super Bowl next year as it was this year. Not the same outcome, but Seattle and Denver. That's who I'm picking.
I think if they play again, I still think Seattle can beat them, but I think it's going to be much tighter. And I don't anticipate a blowout from – well, maybe it could be a blowout from Peyton Manning. Maybe he can go out there and blow out the Hawks, but he's still got that jinx on him, man. He'll never win the Super Bowl again because he didn't win the last game.
No such thing as a jinx.
He's got it. It's a curse, man.
Here's my prediction again. And this is before the season starts. I think Seattle, Denver meet up again. This time Denver wins.
By how much?
What?
By how much? Is it a blowout or is it a squeaker?
Oh, no. It's just a win, just a standard win.
You definitely have a possibility of Denver can turn around then and blow Seattle out, but I don't think that'll happen. But that would be.
I don't think not with that defense, and the defense doesn't change this year.
I know, look, nobody thought Seattle was going to blow out Peyton Manning like that.
No.
So I mean, would that be one for the history books? Back to back Super
nobody
Bowls.
Nobody thought Seattle was going to beat the crap out of the Saints either last year, but they did.
Oh, that was a beautiful game. They win the Super Bowl, and then they got to come to Seattle, and Seattle was what? 7-9.
Yeah,
they're 7-9.
They
have a losing record, and they won the division with a losing record, and the Super Bowl champions had to travel to Seattle. They lose, man. That's kind of, that's disheartening. That when you're a Super Bowl champions, and then you got to travel to a 7-9 team, and you were what 10-6.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you
got
to travel to their old turf and then get your ass kicked. I mean, that's got to hurt, especially a Saints fan.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Now, I love what Peyton Manning said about the word embarrassing. He was brilliant. The guy's good on the TV, man. He can talk.
Well, I'd miss it. What did he say?
He said, that word is insulting. We're not embarrassed. We just didn't play well. Don't use that word.
Yeah, I know what he's saying, and I don't, and some of these reporters, when they got to ask these questions.
Well, it wasn't even, they didn't ask the question. It was Welker who said it was embarrassing.
Well, yeah, I understand. But I mean.
And it was. It's just something you don't say in front of the press because then it gets blown out of proportion.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. And then, the press, when they got to ask questions, well, you choked or it's embarrassing you out there.
You don't use words like that.
You know, that stupid, what's his name, Rome? I can't stand that guy, man.
I hate Rome.
Yeah, I just, yeah, that
I'd
guy
like
just.
To, I'd like to punch him like Chrissy Everett did.
Yeah, that was great. Don't call me Chrissy again. Chrissy. Boom, he got up. Now, I don't know if that was staged or not, but I wouldn't have done it to him. He's a pretty big dude, man.
Yeah. But Rome just needs to shut up. That's all there is to it.
He's an idiot. So,
yeah.
All right.
I'll give it to you. What's wrong with your voice, man? What are you, sick? Real sick?
Yeah, I told you that at the very beginning. I told you, man.
I heard sick. That, but I mean real sick, or are you just a little girly cold?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be wanting to get any better. And Saturday I was out for the count. Today I can't speak or breathe, and I don't know what the hell to do.
I'll write a prescription for you. It's called Coors Light.
I don't know if I'm coming, staying, laying, or praying here right now. I don't know where the hell I'm at, but... So,
go to the store.
Anyway, I can't.
I gotta go. I don't know why I'm up so early. Killing me.
All right. Let me get
anything else.
Nope, that's it.
They meet.
See you later. All right. Now I have no idea where the hell we are. But in any event, let me cover this. This is Holder. We'll start here. This is Holder. And Fast and Furious. Listen to this. I mean, the smugness, the arrogance, the aloofness, the just lack of not only concern, but conceptual understanding of what actually happened. There's a man now, he ain't coming home to his family. Because we wanted to, well, we're trying to put an end to guns. Only the government and law enforcement can have guns. So we're going to take these guns from America and put them into the hands of Mexican drug cartels so it makes it look like that all these Mexican drug cartels are just walking over to the United States picking up weapons. Also, they can put more restrictions on you. So they can take away your right, your constitutional right to keep and bear arms, which shall not be infringed unless you're the government. All in the name of safety, security. No, it's in the name of tyranny. It's in the name of control, power. Nothing to do with safety. We're tired of those lies. We're tired of that. We don't need any more lies. We know what your games are. We know what you're doing. But far too many people out there just aren't ready to open their eyes and look at it yet. They know it's there, but they just don't want to look at it. Well, I'm sorry, but eventually you're going to have to look at the train wreck. You're going to have to look at the blood, guts, and gore that are splattered all over the goddamn highway. Acknowledge it. Then do something about it. So this is Eric Holder on Fast and Furious. Go ahead with this cut. Go.
Have you apologized to the family of Brian Terry?
I have not apologized to them, but I certainly regret what happened.
Have you even talked to them?
I have not.
Would you like to apologize today for this this program that went so wrong that took the life of a United States law enforcement agent?
Just before you answer, and that would have to be your last question.
Shut up, lady.
I certainly regret what happened to Agent Brian Terry. I can only imagine the pain that his family has had to deal with, in particular his mother. I am the father of three children myself. We are not programmed to bury our kids. It pains me whenever there is the death of a law enforcement official, especially under the circumstances that
this occurred.
How about an apology? It is not fair, however, to assume that the mistakes that happened in Fast and Furious directly led to the death of Agent Terry. Again, my feelings of sympathy and regret go out to the Terry family, and I hope that the steps that we have put in place, the measures that I have called for, will prevent other federal agents, local, state agents from being
Get him off. Jesus Christ, I can't sit here and listen to this guy. Do you want to apologize? No, he did not. Did he apologize? No, he did not. And there's no direct link between Fast and Furious and the death of Agent Terry, excuse me? Those people that fired and killed and murdered Mr. Terry had those weapons. doesn't matter whether that particular weapon was used to kill Mr. Terry or not. That part's irrelevant. What is relevant is you allowed these weapons to cross the border into the hands of Mexican drug cartels. Now, if you go by liberal logic, if they didn't have the gun, they wouldn't have been there. And if they were there, they wouldn't have been able to fire. So you put the guns in their hands, and they're Mr. Terry's blood, I'm sorry, Mr. Attorney General, is on your hands. And Mr. President, you did absolutely nothing. Nobody was even reprimanded, even talked to. Did you scold anybody? Did you have a little sit down and say, did you do any of that? Point your finger? You didn't even do that. Look, an American citizen is an American citizen. They are either a brother or a sister, period. We don't kill our own family. We don't do that in this country. This is our government. You don't have the right to kill the citizen. You don't have that right. You don't have the right to kill our brothers and then blame it on videos and blame it on Republicans and Tea Parties, wars on women's. You don't have that right. But yet you have executed that right. And far too many people, have done absolutely really nothing to stop it. Nothing to combat it. Where is our responsible Congress? I thought we had one. I mean, that 2010 election, that 2010 election was for a reason. You're still not listening. Mr. Boehner, you're not listening. You're fired. Mr. King, you're fired. You're a fraud. You are the fraud. You're fired. You're done. Out. Don't even run. You're done. Of the 5-member RIP crew, there are in custody and 2 remain at large. Manuel, who pleaded guilty to felony murder, so he did not actually fire the bullet that killed Terry. Manuel had 51 rounds and an assault rifle when caught. That weapon and 1 additional AK-47 were found at the scene. So they got a guy who didn't file the fatal shot. Got him in jail. We fire beanbags. They fire bullets. And I'm trying to find here, there was his last words of what he'd said. He said that he'd been shot and he couldn't feel his legs. And when they got over there to help him, he had died actually on the scene. So, look, I don't know what more evidence, what more proof, what more wrongdoings this administration, what more violations they can use against the Constitution, against you personally. Where is your breaking point? You have to find that. You cannot go into the voting booth this 2014 if you're not past your breaking point. If you can't see the damage that is being caused and you have no business voting. Why are you here? What are you doing? Pay attention. This is your life here. Not only your livelihood, but actually, your life. I know a lot of people, they don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear it either. But facts are facts. I mean, my God. Just so they can try to take the guns away from you and put them in their hands, they put AK-47s and all kinds of other weapons in the hands of Mexican drug cartels. What I don't understand is why the Mexican government didn't throw a bigger fit than what they did. I mean, I think as a president of the United States, if Mexico were to do that to us, we'd have a little, at least something to say about it. Where the Mexican government put weapons in the hands of our really bad drug lords that we have, and we do. They're not quite, you know, as brazen as the Mexican drug cartel. They just go into a town and just kill everybody and take it over. That's it. Here we are. The court records have two unanswered questions. First, it is unclear who stashed Fast and Furious weapons in the desert. Second, it is unclear how the agents were so outgunned. That's not hard to figure out. We were outgunned. Well, we weren't really outgunned, but we did outfight them. I mean, they only got four of us. I think, I don't know how many people in Benghazi, but hey, man. For the fight that they had to put up and what they had to endure, I think our boys in Benghazi fought admirably. I can't ever say that word either. But they put up a hell of a fight, man, I can tell you that. Their efforts, they did save lives. There shouldn't have been one life lost in Benghazi. All for a weapons deal, so the Syrian rebels can get weapons. I mean, where does this stuff end? And why do we have to keep putting up with it? Under federal sentencing guidelines, Emmanuel is set to get life in prison, though a plea bargain in U.S. attorney is asking for 30 years. There's a principle in police work known as plus one, which effectively holds that law enforcement should be better armed than the suspects they're pursuing. Well, I think that would be, I know I keep going back to this whole common sense thing, but yeah, I think that's where common sense would need to come into play. Confronting assault weapon-armed gang members in the desert with beanbags would seem to violate that principle. Really? Well, it would seem? No, it doesn't seem. It is. I'm tired of all this assuming and seeming and apparently. It is what it is, what it is, what it is. And our government did it. The Border Patrol has said in the past that Terry's unit had the freedom to put down their beanbags and use other weapons, but chose not to. However, other Border Patrol agents say police guidelines and the rules of engagement for BORTAC that night encourage the agents to use non-lethal force first. And what are we doing about it? What more do we need? Well, here's what we need. We need to go to that voting booth, and we need to vote all these people out. Boehner, fired. King, fired. McConnell, fired. McCain, fired. Every Republican that voted, every single Republican that voted for that goddamn $6 gazillion pork sandwich bill that opened the government back up. You got to have pork to open up a government. The whole reason why the government was closed was to control spending. So in order to open the government up, we got to spend more. And the government actually spent more money closing the government down than they did actually if they'd have just left it alone. And you want to vote for more of this. Really? All right, I got 53 minutes. And I got a lot of stories to cover here. We don't need to open up my treasure chest. We've all heard the sound. I'm just sicker than a dog. I'm trying to do the best that I can here. So let's cover a little bit of what about everything, and then we'll get through what we can. The widow of fallen cop blocked from testifying on Obama's DOJ pick. The DOJ, or the DA, joins criticism. Of course she's going to be blocked from testifying. We can't have her talk about this DOJ pick, who evidently, I guess he was one of the attorneys trying to, he represented him in some way or something, and he was fighting for him or whatever. But he's a creep. He's a liberal. He's a, you know, Saul Alinskyite. They're little tyrants. They're all in cahoots with each other. So we can't have anybody tell the truth in his hearing, so we got to eliminate him, you know, eliminate the widow from actually speaking, which I find is wrong. We don't have a strong enough Congress to say, no, that's not going to happen. They're cowards. They need to be fired. Obamacare enrollees hit snags at doctors' offices. We were trying to get through that yesterday, but we'll find out. Senate cybersecurity report finds agencies often fail to take basic preventative measures. Really? No. The Belarusian connection. We're going to try to get into that, too. Don't touch the water in Sochi. Oh, my God, with the Russians, man. I mean, they finally get the water back in some places, not all. But you can't touch it. It's got some chemical or something on it. It's got acid or burn your skin. Pictures of these hotels that are all trashed. Look like a goddamn rock band came through there. Stray dogs running around everywhere. Rats. Can't drink the water. You can't really use a toilet. You can't put any paper products, toilet paper, down the toilet. You can't flush it, so you just got to keep, you know, going in there, and you can't. You got to. They give you a bucket where you put your toilet paper. This is your hotel room. Most hotel rooms, the bathroom is pretty close to where you sleep. After a while, that smell is going to get a little rank. They've run out of pillows. So now the staff and all these people are now having to give up their pillows. They put all these pillows on these big trucks. They don't have enough pillows for the athletes. They've got stadium stuff that isn't even completely built yet. Some of the hotels aren't even built yet. I mean, I think that, you know, the Olympic Committee should make sure that this stuff is done prior to the games. That's the Olympic Committee's fault. They should make sure that this stuff is all completed, you would think, right? Where's the Olympic Committee? Yeah, I know it's the host country's responsibility to get it done, but look, obviously they didn't get it done. They didn't do it. So now what? I mean, this kind of stuff is ridiculous. And you have to wonder if he didn't do this deliberately. I'm sure the Russian athletes, they're all nice and cozy. What if he didn't do this deliberately, just so they could win? Seems like something that they would do. Just seems like it. TSA officer at Bush IAH arrested, accused of making terroristic threat. I think we covered that a little bit. We'll try to see what's into that. It's kind of a weird story. You know, these people, you know, they don't understand it. Where people wig out in the workplace, man. It just tells me maybe there's a problem in the workplace or maybe there's a vetting process. I mean, maybe it's just too much news, but why are people wigging out, man? Well, I think, you know, look at all the stuff that we've got going on here. People can only take so much. I mean, if he probably dug deep, I mean, his wife probably left him. Running out of money, owes money, going to lose his house, his car, gambling problem, who knows? I'm not making any accusations on the guy, but can't be having TSA agents running around threatening, you know, to blow his whole team up. And he did it not once, but like twice, and then kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. They had no choice. They had to call the cops. I mean, I guess I would have done the same thing. I mean, he just had enough. I don't know what set him off, man, but maybe there's something there. Maybe pay attention and listen to him. Maybe there's something you guys can fix. But the TSA has got to get their, they got to get their act together. It needs to be more militarized. Doesn't necessarily have to be the military, but it needs to be run militarized. You want it effective? You want it to work? Victims' families in Texas. Oh, my God. This story, this freaking little kid, man. Do you remember that affluenza, which nobody ever heard of before? It's when teenagers, they're so rich that they've been given everything. They don't understand responsibility. Therefore, they're not accountable to any responsibility. So they can run over a whole family of six and kill, I think he killed, what, four people? Drunk, on value. And he gets off. He gets a little probation because, well, his parents were so rich. But he didn't know about responsibility because he was given everything. Not only did his daddy pay for, well, the court fines and this and that, but he paid for his rehab, which is nothing. He's got all of his friends in the vehicle, I guess in his pickup or something, and they're all saying, stop, 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 and he didn't. Probation. Then he comes back again. There's something else for the people that he injured. He didn't get another trial for just the people that he injured. He got nothing. Again. I mean, first of all, look, I understand compassion and all this, but it comes to a point when you kill people because of your irresponsibility and your stupidity. It sucks that you're a kid, but you got to pay the piper, man. Got to pay the price. Maybe you shouldn't have been drinking and driving. I don't know. Maybe you should have listened to your friends. Maybe you should have been stood up guy and said, yeah, I did it. This is wrong. But now he gets probation. And then he gets probation again. All because he's rich. Well, because he's rich means that he's, well, his dad's got to be a big Obama donor. Something tells me, I have no idea, I'm not really speculating. I mean, I'm not really assuming, I'm just speculating. I just wonder if this family is connected and who they are actually connected to. Who are their friends? I wonder if he is a big Obama donor. Maybe he's an Eric Holder friend. Maybe he's somebody, you know, that knows somebody. How do you wipe out a family of four drinking and driving and arrogant and you only get probation? The commander-in-chief elevates the status of Muslims over Christians in the military. Yeah, we've known this has been coming for a long time. Oh, my God, look at this. A Bill and Clinton and that Elizabeth Hurley. Oh, my God. Have you heard about this? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. I am so not surprised at any of this. But do I care? No. I just don't. It doesn't affect my life. It doesn't affect the life of the country. It's not going to put anybody back to work. Not going to take anybody off of unemployment. It's not going to give anybody health care. It's not going to help anybody pay their mortgage. Why is this story? Well, evidently this, I kind of know who he is, but not really. this, what the hell's his name now? Where is he? Sizemore. I'm terrible with names. So, evidently he's a crystal meth addict. But he had made comments about, told this whole story about how Bill Clinton came up to him and said, "Hey, I know you were going out with Elizabeth Hurley. You still going out with her?" He said, "No." "Well, what's her number?" And he says, "You know, I'm the effing president of the United States. Give me your, you know, goddamn number." So he kind of browbeat him and, you know, he got his number. Got her number, evidently, and brought her into the Lincoln bedroom, or brought him into the Lincoln bedroom and had this discussion. And he brought her in there to the Lincoln bedroom, and I guess while Hillary was in the other room, I guess he was, you know, doing his, you know, circus routine with cigars. God only knows what the hell they were doing. And first of all, I just don't care. It has nothing to do with why we got to learn about all people's personal lives. I just don't know. I don't know why people can't concentrate on their own life. They're more concerned about Kim Kardashian and Justin Bieber. Is he going to be exported or imported or whatever the hell it is? Deported. Good God. I'm really getting sick now. So while Hillary was in the other room, Elizabeth Hurley and Bill were in the, you know, this room, and blah, 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 blah. Nobody seemed to mind. And now Elizabeth Hurley is, that's what he said. Stunned at the suggestion, when Sizemore confirmed that they had dated but no longer together, he says President asked for her number. Stunned at the suggestion, Sizemore admitted to being somewhat hesitant to dole out the digits, but claims that Mr. Clinton insisted, "Give it to me, you dumb mother effer. I'm the commander-in-chief of the United States of America. The buck stops here. Give me the damn number." Saul, the actor obliged, gave him the number. Next thing you know, doop-de-doop-de-doop. Clinton said, these are in quotations, so this is Ted Sizemore saying what President Clinton told Ted Sizemore. Mr. Clinton said, "I'm going to say I asked you about your uncle, Ted Sizemore, who played professional baseball." Sizemore recalls, "That's the lie. Don't forget it." "Oh, I never ask anybody to lie." No, of course you don't. You don't ask them. You order them. That's how he gets away with it. "Oh, I never asked anybody to lie." No, you didn't ask. You ordered them. There's a difference. Will you lie or you will lie? You get it? Will you lie? That's a question. That's asking. You will lie. That's an order. I don't know if it's true or not. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. I don't like Bill Clinton. Never did. I mean, Elizabeth Hurley, she's a pretty enough woman. She's buxom. She's, you know, she's got the whole package there. I mean, she's got a lot of very feministic kind of attributes that, kind of pleasant to the eyes. I don't really care. But now they're saying this is hurting Hillary Clinton's opportunity. Well, no, I think, first of all, the country rejected her once before. They're going to reject her again. If they don't like her, they don't want her, they don't trust her. She has no experience. What? Anything that she touches is a disaster. What does she do in the Middle East? Well, the Middle East is, you know... What does she do anywhere? What does she do during Benghazi? We don't know. She had to have done something. You know, what difference does it make anyway? I mean, it was only four. It's not like there was a whole bunch. They knew it was a dangerous area. They bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. Don't be coming to me with this crap. I'm the Secretary of the State. I'm the Queen. Don't you know I'm going to be the first Queen of America? You don't talk to me that way. I'm me. So let's quit talking about, speaking of talking, get rid of this stupid tabloid nonsense of Elizabeth Hurley, President Clinton, and it gives a damn. We all know that he's a hose monster. This guy, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, it is what it is, what it is, what it is. I can't do anything about it. I don't give a damn. I'm not in bed with him, so what the hell do I care? I never thought that the guy actually had any real respect for the office. I thought he, you know, I just didn't like his respect of the office. It just seemed like it was Hollywood, D.C., rather than Washington, D.C. You know, that house is not your little frat house. Okay, that's the White House. That's the country's house that we let you sleep in. Do your goddamn job and respect it. So let's get into this widow of the fallen cop here. I remember this story a long time ago. It was a long time ago. I heard it several years afterwards. The Philadelphia District Attorney is speaking out against President Obama's nominee for top Justice Department post, saying his link to the case of the convicted cop killer sends a message to contempt to police, as the widow of the fallen officer is apparently denied the chance to testify. Of course. They don't want anything getting in the way. I mean, Eric Holder, he's getting the FLAN. He's getting them all free. Now these guys, they just can't wait to free terrorists. I don't understand that. Why? Why do these people enjoy freeing really bad people that kill a lot of people? I don't understand that. Are they getting paid? Or do they sympathize with these people's ways? I mean, you have to ask. But why Eric Holder was even, we know why he was nominated, but why, well, we had a Democratic House and Senate. That's why he got into the position. But he should have been removed by now. Maureen Faulkner, whose husband Daniel Faulkner was killed in 1981, was hoping to speak publicly on the case before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which plans to vote Thursday on the nomination of Debo Adigable. I can't pronounce these stupid names. My God. The guy's a geek. If you look at him, he's just a creep. He's a creep like the rest of them. These are all creeps. They all need to go. To lead the Civil Rights Division. That right there. All the terrorists get a free pass. They've got civil rights. You can't arrest somebody for making a bomb. It's against my religion. It's my religion to make bombs. Oh, I'm sorry. Then you got a white kid walking down the street playing with some goddamn firecrackers. And, oh, we got to get the cops in here. Get all the roid rage, buffed up cops come in here and beat him down, tase him, hit him with their sticks, handcuff him, throw him in the cooler. But she told FoxNews.com she's extremely frustrated after being told by the representatives of Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, who is just, this guy's a dart ass, this guy needs to go to Vermont. These people in Vermont are what the hell is the matter with that state? Beautiful state, by the way. Absolutely knocked down, gorgeous, but their political thinking up there is, whoa. That she won't be able to do so. Physically, emotionally, and mentally distressed that I am not able to be in that room, Ms. Faulkner told Fox News. This is personal to me, yes, and it should be. The nominee has faced criticism for his role in getting Abu Jamal's death sentence overturned during his time as acting director of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. He told the Senate committee last month, this is Abigail, whatever his name is. I can't pronounce his stupid name. I've just done some research on him, not that much, but I did enough to know that I don't like him and he's got no business being anywhere in government. But, of course, 99.9% of the people in government don't belong in government. Faulkner is seeking to testify, claimed that Adigbol personally took on the case of Mumia Abu Jamal, oh my God, these names, while working with the NAACP to overturn Jamal's death penalty. Abu Jamal was convicted in the 1981 killing of her husband, Daniel. Well, look, we got an attorney general. I mean, he gets the FLA in. The Weather Underground, we've got all these domestic terrorists out there. They just seem to get a pass. Why is that? Why is it that always the bad guys seem to get, they get the biggest defense? Oh, the people that are innocent, they can't afford a defense. Then what happens? Well, they got to go to jail. But if you're really rich, well, see, it's not your fault. Your parents were so rich, they gave you everything, and you couldn't learn responsibility. It's not your fault. We feel sorry for you. Come here, let me give you a hug. He needs to be getting a hug from Bubba in the state penitentiary. Come here, little boy. That's the hug that he needs. I'm sorry, but you don't be drinking and driving and run over people, kill people, injure people, maim people. They got one guy, he can only communicate by blinking his eyes. He's that way for the rest of his life. I think it was all together, 4 dead, 2 dead, whatever. I don't care. 1 dead. Even if none of them died. You don't be drinking and driving, first of all. But second of all, when you hit people with your car, you don't get off, and especially kill people, you don't get off, period. There's no probation. Probation? Because he's rich? What does that mean? Well, his parents gave him everything, and he didn't know how to get anything, and he doesn't have responsibility. It's not his fault. It's his parents' fault. It's okay, well, then put the parent in jail. But no, they give the kid probation. Yeah. I feel sorry for this lady. I feel sorry for the country. Because these people are sneaking into government positions. And they're getting the creepiest of all the creepies. And they're loading up the government. I mean, we only got 3 more years with this knucklehead. But they're loading the government up. They can do a lot of damage in 3 years. Look at the damage Obamacare caused in just 2 months. And we're on our 5th month now. Just think what they can do now. I can't help but think there's something's going to happen where he's going to have to, well, the only choice that we have is have the Obama, regime stay in there. Yeah. So he'll run for a 3rd term, declare himself king. That will never happen. I'm sure that will never happen. There's too many people in this country that will make sure that will never happen. Wouldn't surprise me if he wouldn't try it, but he's not going to succeed, that one. I can't imagine that. Well, I couldn't imagine a lot of things, so you never know. So you can't take anything for granted. You see a fight, you got to fight it. Obamacare enrollees now hit snags at the doctor's offices. I told you, it's coming. There's going to be big riots in offices and big riots in emergency rooms. You watch. Many consumers face hurdles signing up for covered California health plans. California, there it is. They've been under Democratic rule for so goddamn long, they have no idea what they're doing there. The entire state of California is a mess. I'm sorry, but it's bankrupt. All the people are moving out. The rich people, the good people, the smart people are moving out. It's beautiful. I love California. I love all the states, all 50 states. Every state has something really good to offer, even Ohio, which I can't stand that whole freaking state. But they do have good things to offer, and they do have pretty areas. And I had some really good Chinese food. After overcoming website glitches and long waits to get Obamacare, some patients are now running into frustrating new roadblocks at the doctor's offices. Yeah, I know I talk about that. It's been out there. I think anybody with any kind of common sense can figure out this is what's going to happen. A month into the most sweeping changes to health care in half a freaking century, people are having trouble finding doctors at all. We told you this was going to happen, but oh no, who are you Tea Partiers? You're haters. All you do is hate. You don't know. Obamacare's here to rescue. I don't feel sorry for these people who voted for this crap. Good. Maybe now your eyes can open. Next time somebody tells you don't keep walking down that road, you're going to fall off the cliff. Well, take their word for it and at least peek over the edge to make sure that they're, well, it either is a cliff or not a cliff before you go over the son of a bitch and take a lot of people down with you. Getting faulty information on which ones are covered and receiving little help from insurers swamped by new business. You're not going to get any help from the insurers. First of all, the insurers got snookered by this government. They're not happy with the government. It's Obamacare and Obama and all his whole team is out there. Oh, yeah, you're going to have all these customers. You're going to have – it's going to be great being an insurance company. Little did they know that these insurance companies are going to have to, well, spend lots and lots and lots of money, and they're being run out of business. That's the point. They took the bait. They shouldn't have taken the bait. They shouldn't have been smart enough to realize. And they shouldn't have taken the bait. They could have fought it, but they didn't. It's called greed. Greed is, there's a difference, there's good greed and bad greed. Blind greed. You go into blind greed and all you see is dollars and you don't see anything else. Well, that's what happened with Common Core. All these governors, oh yeah. I get all this money for what? Well, we haven't figured it out yet, but when we do, we haven't written it. So when we do, we'll send it over to you. And then just sign on to it and then do it. Well, they're finding out that they can't afford it. Anything the government touches, you cannot afford. American people cannot afford it. We can't afford our government anymore. So it's up to us to go into that voting booth and vote responsibly. I know I sound like a broken record, but I don't give a damn. It's got to be told. You got to tell it. Standing in line at the stupid supermarket. I hate those stupid markets, by the way. Pain in the ass. But anywhere, let your voice be heard. They let their voice be heard. Why can't you let your voice be heard? Well, you can. Let it be heard. Stop letting the government bully you. And that's they are. They are the actual bully here. They're the biggest bully we got. Yeah, that big fat kid, you know, big muscle-bound kid, bigger than everybody else, picks on all the little ones, picks on all the geeks, the four eyes, the little sissy guy picks on him. Yeah, he is a bully. And he's going to learn his lesson one day, and he'll learn it the hard way, and that's all right. He'll probably grow up to be a really nice guy. Because of that lesson he'll learn. But he's got to learn it by the... I know sometimes, you know, yeah. Do you want to let bullies just go around bullying? No. But see, the problem is when we teach our kids, we're not teaching them. We're just telling them you're doing it wrong. Okay, well, how do I do it right? Why am I doing it wrong? What is wrong with it? Well, they don't worry about that. Well, it's hate. Okay, well, what are you talking about? I know it sucks. You got to do a little bit of extra work, but that's what we got to do. Look, we got a mindset and a culture to change, and we got to be quick about it. I think we have it in this country. I think we have it in us. But we need to do it. Right now, we're not. What are we afraid of? I don't know. What are you afraid of? I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm afraid of. That unknown. We don't know what's coming next. I mean, you thought that we've had enough scandals, and there's always one more right down the pike. I mean, this guy's got 3 years to go. I mean, look how many scandals we had just in the first four. Look, we've got to do something. We've got to either stop the president from passing his own legislation, all presidents, not just this president. We've got to redefine that executive order, which I don't believe is actually lawful. I think people are misinterpreting that Constitution. I don't buy it. Including George Washington, all of them. I don't buy that. And if you want to give a president executive privilege, well, it needs to be very specific and very limited. That I wouldn't have a problem with. But I know it's limited to some things, but it's not. Congress needs to start passing quality legislation, not quantity. And not every piece of legislation has to have pork in it. The whole idea is we're trying to stop spending because we, well, fast approaching $20 trillion in debt. When Obama took office, I think there was, what, $9, $10 trillion in debt? And now we're going to have 20? Double the debt. And that's okay with people. That's all right. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. Well, yeah, it kind of does. What happens when China wants their money back? Then what? Start brushing up on your Mandarin. I refuse to learn that language. It's too complicated. Oh, well, I'll listen to other people speak it, but I'm not even going to try it. Experts have warned for months that the logjam was inevitable. No. They told you for years that this wouldn't work, and nobody wanted to listen. But the extent of the problems is taking by surprise many patients and even doctors. And frustrations mount. Yeah. Aliso Viejo resident Daniel Nelson, or Danielle, said that Anthem Blue Cross promised half a dozen times that her oncologists would be covered under her new policy. She was diagnosed last year with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and discovered a suspicious lump near her jaw in early January. But she went to her oncologist's office. She promptly encountered a bright orange sign saying that covered California plans are not accepted. That's got to be a nice little surprise, isn't it? Coming to the doctor's office, think you're going to get cured because you got all these things wrong with you. Got Obamacare signed up. Only took me 3 weeks to get on that, get it filled out with the website. And now you don't cover me. I'm a complete fan of the Affordable Care Act, but now I can't sleep at night. Well, Nelson, sorry, but if you can't see what you voted for twice, and I'm sure you're an Obama supporter, she goes on to say, I can't imagine this is how President Obama wanted it to happen. That makes you doubly stupid now. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for your disease you got, but sweetheart, come on. You're killing me here. I can't feel sorry for these people. I'm sorry. If you're a fan of the Affordable Care Act, obviously you haven't done your homework. If you did your homework, you would have known that this was going to come down the pike, this was going to happen to you. And then to think that you can't imagine this is how President Obama wanted it to happen, well, that's just naive. That's gullible. That's dangerous. This is exactly what he wanted to happen. To hold down premiums under the health care law, major insurers have sharply cut the number of doctors and hospitals available to patients in the state's new health insurance market. Now those limited opinions are becoming clearer, and California officials say they are receiving more consumer complaints about access to medical providers. State lawmakers are also moving swiftly to ease some of the problems that have arisen. They're not easing. They're creating more problems. Look, like when your children go into the kitchen and they take out all about everything and they got, you know, all the products and they take everything that you can find, all the food, and they spread it all over the place, make a huge mess. Yeah, you want them to clean it up, but you know if they clean them up, if they clean it up, they're not going to do the job that needs to get done. And if you are going to let them do the job, well, you as the parent, the supervisor, the president, you have to manage them. Look over their shoulders. Make sure they're doing their job right. You hear that, Kat Sebelius? Huh? Don't you think as being the Health and Human Services Secretary that you would make sure that this goddamn website company had the website done? I mean, 3 years? You never once asked a question? You never once met with the president? Well, hi, Kat. How's it going? Well, Barry, you know, pretty good. They send over a memo every once in a while and tell me things are just running swimmingly. So, oh, well, that's good news. Okay, we ready to open next week? You know, it's October. Oh, yeah, we'll be ready. I'll show. They still haven't got the site completed yet. Not only do they not have the website completed, but they don't have, well, the part that can fix the errors. So the errors continue to, well, stay in place. In quotations, so this must mean what somebody said. This is California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones. Davy Jones. Kind of like Davy Jones, the locker that this country is heading straight towards. It's a little early for anyone to know how widespread and deep this problem is. There are a lot of economic incentives for health insurers to narrow their networks. But if they go too far, people won't have access to care. Well, duh, they're not going to have it. Nobody has Obamacare. Obamacare is actually a myth, man. It's more of a myth than anything else. It's like a legend. It doesn't exist. It's a phantom. Somebody came up with some idea, but they got no way to implement it. The good news is Obamacare is going to implode on its own, and it will. It can't sustain itself. It's going to implode. However, the bad news is that millions, and I do mean millions of Americans, are going to be suffering here. Wait till these unions have to get out of their cozy little Cadillac insurance plans and have to go into this Obamacare nonsense. That's not going to be a pretty sight. I'm kind of looking forward to it because I want to see the fight, and they're going to be right. First times I think I've ever agreed with unions, but they're right. But in the meantime, at the end result, there are literally going to be millions upon millions of people with no health insurance, which defeats the purpose. We had 50 million, of course, that number, if you believe that number or not, I don't know. Whatever the number is. None of those people, whatever the number you want to believe, whatever number you want to put in there, of all the people that were uninsured before Obamacare, none of them have insurance now. And those people that did have insurance now don't. So the only thing that we really did so far has taken that 50 million people uninsured and brought that up to 56 and soon to be, well, it's going to be everybody. And this is what you wanted. This is what you voted twice for. And this Danielle, what the hell's her name again? She's still got faith. Yeah, Danielle Nelson. I can't imagine how President Obama wanted it to happen. I'm a complete fan of Obamacare, but now I can't sleep at night. Well, you can't sleep at night because you are a fan of the Affordable Care Act. Your brain can't figure out why it never connected the dots before. Look, I'm sorry, but everything the Tea Party said was going to happen has happened. Everything the right has told you about what was going to happen with this Obamacare has come true. I told you there was going to be fights and riots and all kinds of stuff going into these doctor's offices. Just wait. There's only going to be so much of this that people are going to be able to put up with. And it's coming. Coming to a town near you. It might even be coming to you. You might be one of those doctor office workers. Now you're going to be putting up with patients that can't get their way. They can't get insurance. They're screwed. They've lost their job now because of Obamacare. They've lost their insurance because of Obamacare. They can't seem to figure out who's got what. What insurance company? Who's this? Who's that? Yeah, people are going to explode, man. That's a lot of stress, especially when somebody's trying to feed a family. Keep the family afloat. Keep them in, you know, under a roof. And when you keep losing your job and losing your hours because companies can't afford to hire you, and now because you don't have any money to buy health insurance, now you've got to get fined. Look, that puts a lot of stress, man, on people. And they snap. People are going to snap. Now, granted, that may not be an excuse, but that is what's going to happen. I'm sicker than hell, and I'm afraid to go to the stupid doctor's offices. I'm afraid something like that might happen. I hate going to doctors anyway. It's a pain in the ass. It is. Sit in there, wait around for hours upon hours, and they come in, poke you, prod you. They always got to stick their finger up your butt. Stick all these sticks down your throat, look in your ears. Oh, by the way, you're sick. Really? You went to 15 years of friggin' medical school, come in here and poke me and prod me to tell me that I'm sick. Duh. That's why I'm here, doc. Give me something. Give me a pill, and then get the hell out of here. That's all I want. I just want to walk into a vending machine, a pill vending machine. Well, look down all your freaking symptoms of what you got. You take one pill, boom, you're done. That's me. I just don't have patience for crap like that. But anyway, the whole point is that you're going to have more and more problems. I don't feel sorry for this Danielle Nelson. I mean, it sucks. I mean, I feel sorry for the situation. There are people like her that did not vote for this Obamacare. But there are a lot that did. And they're finding out, woo, this wasn't supposed to happen. This was only supposed to happen to the Republicans. This wasn't supposed to happen to us. Well, yeah, it was. And these are the same people that will continue to vote Democrat, will flat refuse to vote anything other than Democrat. So here we are. Insurers face pressure for limiting doctor choice for Obamacare enrollees. Oh, my God, it just never stops. We've only got about 6 minutes here. Is there anything interesting in this? Let's see what else I can cover before we got to go. Got to turn our ship around here now. We're going to head back into port. Make it for another day. I'm done. I got to admit. We'll have to get the rest of this tomorrow. But anyway, I made it. We got 5 minutes left. I'm going to leave 5 minutes early because I'm done. I don't care. I've had enough. There's nothing more to talk about. We all know the same. We all know what it is. We just need to do it. We all know what to do. We just need to do it. That's all we need to do. In any event, thanks for listening today. We will be back here tomorrow morning. Goodbye. You feel that?